You ready?
This is the Mike Salk Show, serviced by Jaffco Plumbing and Sewer.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
Are you ready?
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Are you ready for a good day?
What's up, G. Scott? How we doing today?
I'm good, man. Can you? I'm a little old today. Oh. Can you turn that music down?
Oh, it's too loud for me.
Are you ready?
You come on, man.
What?
You know, I'm
this isn't
like my
your
dad.
Show. It's my music. It's my show.
Fair
you
enough.
Have your music on your show.
But you invited me into your house.
I should get you some intro music.
You know what I mean? Can I get some intro music? Here, I'm just going to tell you guys this. I've learned about myself in the last week. I'm getting old, especially after watching the Seahawks game last week. I am becoming the get off my lawn. So I'm just letting you guys know.
Right.
I apologize in advance.
I've heard you say this I don't know how many times over the years that you're getting old. You've been saying that as long as I've known you, which is like 7 years.
As long as you mean when you were wearing that Beast Mode coat one day?
Who got me that? Where did that Beast did Brock get it for me or did you get it for me?
Brock got it for
Brock
you.
Brock was down there, right, in the Bay Area. He went to like the pop-up Beast Mode store and he bought me the loudest, most garish jacket you could have possibly found in that entire store. It was too loud even for the Beast Mode store. I think it was heavily discounted. And so Brock brought it back. Oh, my gosh.
Before the end of your show, I'm going to help pay off this conversation.
Okay.
I'm going to send it to Justin and Maura
and
picture you in that coat.
Oh, you have it? Oh, no.
You know your boy keeps receipts on everything.
You really do. Your phone is a treasure trove full of stuff like that.
And if
that.
I lose it, and if I lose it, I am Inspector Jack, Inspector Gadget, please blow that thing up.
What'd you make of Russ's stuff over the past week? What'd you make of him in the huddle or in the ghost huddle and the jumping in for the coin toss in overtime? What did you make about Russ's performance on Sunday night?
Nutso. Are we even nutso? That's Above the Rim.
Yeah, Above the
Rim.
That
is a play of the movie. If you guys have ever seen Above the Rim, you guys know when Leon, the character, is out there and he's playing against Nutso, who's actually gone, is one of his best friends, and he's kind of doing this thing.
We got it right here. We got it right here for you, G.
Let's hear it.
It's hard to see. There's a lot of sound going on.
Okay,
here's
what I thought, Salk.
G got confused. He's only been in radio for 7 years. He thought we were doing television. These things happen.
Yeah, sorry. My bad. But I thought, I've never seen this before in my life. I thought, wow. And I thought, wow, this is an example of Russell Wilson being bought into what he's doing at all time. Now, I loved everything he was doing. You know, we all try that. If you're a basketball player or if you're a golfer, you fake your golf shot. But I ain't never seen a golfer like talk to the caddy. You know what I mean? Or I've never seen a basketball player like wipe the sweat off of them.
I'll defend it, though, G. I'll defend it. He's,
going
to be out for 3-4 weeks. He wants to keep things as consistent as possible. This is who Russell Wilson is. He's got a dorkiness to him that most of us can't understand, but he's used those things and that consistency. It's the same reason that when his team misses a kick in overtime and it looks like the game is going to go against them, he doesn't show any negative reaction on the sideline. He is so focused on all that mental skill stuff that he believes in. I don't necessarily do that stuff, but he does. And while it looks ridiculous, I can at least respect that he believes in it.
Hey, still got love for him. Still can recognize that he's the reason why this has been so good for the last 10 years.
Right.
It's no different than if anybody in your family, you like, hey, I can't believe you just did that. It's still your family. Russell Wilson, if you're listening, any of your people listening, you're still family, fam. New, you're still family. But that was weird. I don't care how you slice it. That was weird. Bro, you got into the huddle. And by the way, what did you say in the huddle? That's what I want to know.
I assume he's calling the audibles, right? Calling like what he would do. Like, you know, whatever it is he says to players.
Did he say go Hawks at the end?
I just want to know. I know that you still talk to and text with a lot of Russell's former teammates. I can only imagine what some of them were saying, and specifically one guy who can be a little angry sometimes. I can only imagine what he had to say.
I didn't talk to anybody, but let's go ahead and switch gears.
I'm sure you didn't talk to anybody.
I didn't talk to anyone. But let's just say this. Let me ask, I'll throw this on you. Which one made you scratch your head the most? Oh. My man, Russell in the huddle or Russell going out there for the coin toss?
Coin toss, for sure. I thought the coin toss was so funny. Like, what is he doing? Oh, of course he's going to be out there for the coin toss.
Like, I know who was the backup at the time.
Jake Luton is like 100 feet tall. He's like a giant.
I know Jake was like, well, man, if this goes to OT, there's never going to be ever a time that they are going to highlight me on Sunday Night Football. This is my chance.
Nope.
And nope, Russell Wilson took that away from me. Man, you want to talk about always competing and no sleep. Oh, yeah. Can you go to sleep during the coin toss, fam? Well, let me go out there and do that.
He's always competing for airtime. I mean, he knows Ben Roethlisberger's on the other sideline. He's got to always compete for airtime,
man. Listen.
All right.
It's my quarterback.
Yeah.
And if you guys do that, man, it's unfair.
Text message. Wait, Salk doesn't do self-positive talk? I never would have guessed. All right, that's enough. Chris Carson's neck, G, what's your level of concern there?
Very. If that is probably one injury over the last 18 years of being around this organization that I've talked to former, current players when it comes to the neck, that's serious business. I'll never forget when Cliff Averill and I, we were out to lunch at Wingstop out over there in Renton, over at the Landing, and he had already had the one little neck stinger, a little scare, and he was explaining that to me. He was like, oh, gee, man, that was scary, man. It was like I got hit with a bolt of lightning, and he was saying that. And then, of course, we know what ends up happening after that. We know what happens to the neck and what happens to the neck of Cam Chancellor. It's real serious. I mean, you talk about, remember Max Strong. Max Strong was a guy who played in the league for a long time. Nothing can stop Max Strong. He was the fullback. He was the one that was taking on all of those hits, helping Sean Alexander in that backfield. And that was the neck. So when you start talking about the neck, that's serious stuff. And the reason why it's so serious, not so serious to the point where, the opportunity to play or longevity in playing could be in jeopardy, but more important, after the game.
Yeah,
right?
Quality
like
of life.
After the game, quality of life, your kids, grandkids, that's serious business. And so, yes, I'm sure that there's concern on their end, and it's concern on mine.
Nick Rolovich talking to G. Scott. Remember, G is on with G and Ursula every day, 9 to noon, on our sister station, 97.3 Cairo FM. And occasionally they invite me over there on Fridays, so we'll see whether I get the invite today. Last time, Ursula forgot my name, so I don't know whether I'm going to be invited back. Ursula's just looking at me like a deer in the headlights, and she didn't have it written down on a piece of paper because we've known each other forever, and she just flat out forgot my name. It was great.
It was great, and I loved it. Like, I loved it because I knew it was a hit to your ego. You know what I mean? Well, I would loved it.
Yeah.
What's up with Rolovich?
What do you make of all that? And I guess, look, we kind of talked to death the whole, like, what he did and all of it. But how, I know that you're clued into what's going on in the recruiting world because of the amount of time you were there with your kids and them being recruited in this area. What happens next for Washington State?
They have an opportunity to hire another coach. I believe that with Nick Rolovich, okay, no matter where you stand, okay, where you stand on vaccine, I don't want to get into that debate right there. I will tell you that this really hurt the recruiting side of things for Washington State. Rolovich not getting the shot, but more importantly, Rolovich not being on the same page with the athletic director. Right. Mm-hmm. So when you are a parent or you are someone thinking about where you're going to send your child to play college football, I mean, don't you think that you want everybody on the same page? Because you don't know what's going to happen. And so when it comes to Rolovich, I'm not saying that he wasn't a good coach. I'm not saying that he didn't care about his kids. I don't like this whole story out there. It's like, oh, my goodness, he left and he couldn't talk to his kids before he left. You know the rules. Sometimes you when you get fired or let go, you can't say goodbye. You can probably get escorted. I know in the radio business, when that day comes and they let me go, they're not going to let me get back on the air and say goodbye, listeners. No, that's not what's going to happen. I'm going to have to go. But I think that going forward, that this has the Coug fan base and alumni and donors and everybody, this will have them be on the same page. I've talked to one specific donor who has been a donor with Washington State for a long time. This particular donor is someone who does not agree with the vaccine mandate. Let me repeat, he does not agree with the vaccine mandate. However, he does not like the distraction that this has become, and so he thought that this is what needed to happen. Mm. This needed to happen right here. Mm. So again, it really sucks for the Coug fan base, because I say this all the time and people get mad at me, but I'll stand on the heels on this. I think the Cougs fan base is the most passionate fan base here in the state of Washington, and it's not even close.
Mm. Well, they have to travel out for, you know, I would agree with that.
You ever go somewhere and you'll hear "Go Cougs" at all times.
Yeah, so. I don't know if they're the most passionate fan base about their team. I think they're mostly the most passionate fan base about their school. Like, I think they care the most about their school as anybody does. I don't know if it's necessarily the team. Does that make sense?
Fair.
Like, that Go Cougs thing, I think, is more about, like, the environment of being a Coug, I think. That's the way I hear it. I'm not a Coug myself. I don't know what the answer to that question would be, though, about the most passionate fan base.
It's not even
Gonzaga basketball.
Close. You ever try to? I've tried this before. I'm sure you have. You ever try to argue with a Coug? You ever try to argue with Big Cal? I know he's the big boss these days. I don't know if I'm allowed to argue with him anymore. I don't want to throw him under the bus. But you try to argue with Big Cal about Cougs, he's gonna have a yeah but every single time. The Cougs can lose every single Apple Cup, and they will still convince you that they have an opportunity to win the next one.
Yeah, I don't know. That's not always the vibe I get, though. A lot of times they like to take the sting out of whatever you're going to say by insulting their own team. It's like, hey, we can say it and you can't.
And here's another reason why I'm being why are you being so nice to the Cougs? Because, man, they quick to be like, hey, man, I got this round. You feel me? I got this round.
That's true. I've partied with a lot of Cougs.
You know, I mean,
there's some benefits.
Let's be real. You have a good time with Cougs right there. And somebody listening right now said, yeah, you're right about that. We do have a good time.
It's a shame that the Groz isn't a Coug. He really should be. Like that he really like belongs as a Washington State Cougar. G, thank you. Good to catch up with you. We'll do it again next week.
It's 8:14, fam. I ain't leaving until 8:15.
It's 8:14 and 45 seconds, and I'm trying to be on time so that Big Kyle doesn't get mad at me for screwing up the clock over here. You know how it is. You know how it is when you're in the radio business. One of us has to do something.
I want you to say it with me. What kind of time am I on?
Huh? I'm not going to. You think I'm going to say this? I like my job, and I'd like to continue to keep, being employed here. You can feel free to say whatever time you're on right now. You got 5 seconds.
Happy Friday, and go Hawks.
See you, buddy. It is 8:15. It's time for Need to Know.
Need to Know.
15 minutes past every hour with Mike Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
She's not going to get me fired. He's not going to trick me into that. What do you think this is?
Put some good traps out.
Oh, he loves to lay the traps. Constantly laying little, like a trapper. Is that what they have in Montana?
Trappers? Yeah, I know.
Did you do
some
any
trappers.
Trapping?
I've done some. I did not participate as much as my friends did in trapping.
Oh, you
but
don't
yeah,
like
it's
trapping
a very big
much.
Thing. Very
okay.
big thing there.
You're more of a hunter than a trapper?
I mean, I enjoyed hunting more than I did trapping. Let's put it that way. Trapping's a lot different.
Trapping seems like incredibly intense. All right, let's get to what you need to know. The first step in the 100-yard dream, which will come true on Monday night, is in the bag. Rashad Penny practiced. No problem, no restriction yesterday, just like Pete Carroll said he would. Not the same for Alex Collins, because Pete was excited about that.
He's going to practice today. That's a good sign. He went through walkthrough today, looked okay.
He did not end up practicing that day, so probably more of a bad sign then for Alex Collins. All signs pointing Rashad Penny being the guy on Monday night. And honestly, jokes aside, I kind of like the way this offense shapes up for him. The offensive line is better than it's been. The team's committed to running the ball, and he'll be there. And they've been spending a lot more time allowing the running backs to run downhill, meaning handoffs, right, straight handoffs, and toss sweeps, that type of stuff, rather than forcing them to accelerate quickly out of the read option in the shotgun set. I don't think that's Rashad Penny at his best. So all of this should benefit the guy with the breakaway speed on the roster. That's Penny. Now, how much they'll be able to run if New Orleans is prepared for that, we'll see. Will the commitment to the run open up the play action game? I hope so. Can Geno play within himself and the structure of this offense and use some of that play action to his advantage? He's going to have to. He's going to have to if they find a way to beat the Saints in a must-win game Monday night. Damian Lewis missed practice, so not good news there, but better news on Daryl Taylor. He was only limited just a few days after he was immobilized and taken to the hospital. It is likely that he will play on Monday night. Cleveland didn't need Baker Mayfield last night. They beat the Broncos. Case Keenum didn't turn it over, so there's your recipe for Geno Smith. And some guy named D'Ernest Johnson ran for 146 yards. If he can do that, Rashad Penny can certainly hit 100.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
October 27th, 2016. That was the day we first heard that Tim Leiwicki and the Oakview Group would be attempting to work with the city of Seattle to redevelop Key Arena and Seattle Center. Well, almost 5 years to the day later, the Kraken are going to play their first home game in the building that was first brought up that day. How about that? We've been through a lot to get here. I'm excited about going to the game tomorrow. I'm really pumped. Deal with the traffic, fine. I'll deal with the parking, fine. I'll handle the concession costs and the lines, fine. This is what it means to be a sports fan and to get what we wanted, which is a new building and a new team in town. I love sports, and there's nothing that brings communities together quite like it, whether it's political divides, gender, race, you name it. 16,000 people are all going to be in that building cheering for the same team, wearing the same jerseys, wearing the same colors, and we saw the same thing couple nights ago for Foo Fighters. You'll see the same thing tonight for Coldplay. Everybody can be together in an arena like this. I think it's great. Getting the arena built was an amazing accomplishment. Many said it would never happen. And whether you go to a game or not, whether you ever step foot there or not, we now have another team in town to root for because of the efforts to build that building. And we'll likely have an NBA team back soon as well. As for the game tomorrow, Kraken will try to get their second win. They take on a Vancouver team that is 1-2-1 on the year. NBA action last night, 46 for Steph Curry. Golden State beats the Clippers, and the champs go down to Miami. Heat beat the Bucks by 42.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Well, when Jerry DePoto was asked about Mitch Haniger and an extension for him in June, he reminded everybody that it takes two to tango. Well, when I asked him about it yesterday, a whole lot more encouraging.
I've always had the belief that this is where Mitch wants to be, and if that works out and we're able to come together on it somewhere down the road, then that'll be a wonderful outcome.
I think that's pretty promising. Haniger had a very good year, bounced back from two lost seasons, set career highs in home runs with 39, runs driven in with 100. He's got one more year of team control left before he hits free agency after next season at the age of 32. Now, I'm not exactly wild about a big contract for a player that age and with his injury history, so take some of this with a grain of salt, but there's also something to be said for leadership, for consistency, for a veteran presence that would balance out some of the youth movement that the Mariners are counting on moving forward. But more than any of that, it's a sign. It's a signal. It's a bat signal to the players both on the team and on other teams, potential additions and free agency, that the Mariners are serious about their future and are willing to go all in, as Haniger asked of him in that Players Tribune article. So as for those potential free agents, I had a chance to ask Jerry yesterday about the five big shortstops, and he said they're committed to J.P. Crawford at the position and that fitting into the clubhouse and positional flexibility will be key factors in determining who they attempt to go after. Don't look at the box score, whatever you do for last night's NLCS. You may not want to know that Chris Taylor was 4-for-5 with 3 home runs. Dodgers win 11-2. They'll head back to Atlanta for game 6 tomorrow with the Braves still up 3-2 in the series. Red Sox and Astros tonight. Eovaldi and Garcia, game 6. Astros trying to close things out at home. Three things you need to know.
Good text
every hour
from the 253. I want to buy a Kraken jersey, or do you call it a sweater?
I don't care. Okay. You can call it either one. They're both right.
But I don't know enough about hockey to pick which number. Who is the Charlie Conway of the team or Adam Banks? I know you're not going to get those references because they're Mighty Ducks, which proves that you have still not seen the Mighty Ducks, even though that was the homework that Moore and I sent you home.
I know,
and
we thought about watching it over the weekend, but we ended up watching another episode of The Masked Singer instead. My kids love The Masked Singer.
They're going to love the Mighty Ducks. Tonight.
We're going out tonight. The kids might watch it. Heather and I are going out. We've got big plans.
All right.
Kids are already out.
Big weekend. Parents going out Friday and Saturday.
I know. How about that? Yeah, we're totally done with our kids for the whole weekend.
Okay, so Charlie Conway is the leader, heart, and soul of the team on the Mighty Ducks. Who is that for the Kraken so far? Giordano?
Well, that's Giordano, yeah.
Okay. So there's your answer for that. And the Adam Banks. I remember Adam Banks is like the rich preppy kid from... No, that's Adam West.
Sorry.
Come on. Adam Banks is like the rich preppy kid. That's how I remember him.
You sure you're not thinking of Carlton Banks? He's a rich preppy kid.
It's true. That's actually a really good reference. And he maybe is in the distant Banks family. I don't know.
Okay.
But I don't know who that would be in this team. The polished, good-looking... maybe, I don't know what other words I can use besides privileged kid of the team.
I generally don't think of hockey players as being particularly polished or good looking. Generally, they're missing teeth. So I don't know whether you've got a guy like that. Yanni Gourde is the guy with the heritage. He's the one who's won a couple of Stanley Cups.
Okay.
So maybe you want to go get a number 37. And
Giordano's five? Is
five.
That right?
Okay. Yeah, you got five for Giordano. You got 37 for Yanni Gourde. Who else might you like? I mean, I like those number 7 Eberle jerseys. Those are pretty sweet looking.
I just like watching Tanev so far. He's been fun to watch. If I were to buy one today, it'd be Tanev.
Tanev's pretty good. The guy who I think has impressed me the most, who I hadn't watched a ton of, and I've really just come to like his game in a very short amount of time, is Jaden Schwartz. He's good. So far, I think he's been the best player on the team. That's just been me watching. If you ask me who's been the best player overall on the team so far, I'd say Jaden Schwartz.
Okay, so maybe Jaden Schwartz is the Adam Banks.
I think he's really impressive. I think he is one heck of a player. That has been a great signing so far.
What about your boy Callie now that he's
my boy Callie though is coming back tomorrow, right? He just practiced for the first time. He's back from COVID.
That would be number 19, it looks like.
Do you want a Yarn Croak jersey, number 19? Dave Poulin used to wear that number for both the Flyers and the Bruins. Okay. I could see that if you want to go 19. That's a decent number. My boy Callie, though. Yeah, that's a good question. I you want to stick with somebody you know is going to be here. I think Yanni Gourde's a safe pick. I think honestly, either Eberle or as I just said, Schwartz is a safe pick. McCann might be a safe pick. I mean, those are all pretty safe picks. I think.
I like this text, too, from the 509. Donato, because he scored the first ever goal. That's a good piece of history, right?
I tell you, he's a mucker, man. I like his game.
Mucker?
He's a mucker.
Is that like a dirt player in baseball?
A little bit, yeah. Like, he'll get into the corners and he'll go into the dirty areas out on the
rink. But he's not a dirty player.
No. He'd go out there and get dirty.
He'll stand in that area in front of the net and take the punishment.
Gotcha.
He's not a big guy. He's not like a big, huge dude. He's just willing to go pay the price, the sacrifice.
Bastian didn't do himself any favors by getting swept up in that fight badly.
That was tough to watch. And I really want to like Bastian, too, because he's a big guy. He's got some speed to him.
Maybe
good
he'll
fourth
redeem
line
himself
energy guy.
In a future fight.
He's going to have to. He's not going to be able to fight for a while, I would think. He's going to have to just nurse that nose. All right, we're ready for tomorrow night. All three of us are going there together. One thing we don't know, because we know kind of what the building looks like, so we know what the roster is, we've watched the team now, but there is one thing that should happen tomorrow night that we are completely unprepared for. So we're going to try to get ready together next. Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the Mike Salk Show.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Back in mornings from 6 to 10.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
It'll be something new. It'll be something unique. I think most folks in Seattle never been to, certainly an NHL hockey game. None of us have been to one here in Seattle, or if you have, it's been quite a long time. So looking forward to tomorrow night at Climate Pledge Arena, Mike Salk Show here on 710 ESPN Seattle. Justin is here. Maura is here. And one thing, look, we know a lot about the arena. We've gotten to see it, right, whether it's people's pictures that they sent back from Foo Fighters the other night or some of the media that were allowed in for the tour. So we can see the concession stands and see that big, you like that green wall thing they did, like the living green wall? That thing's pretty sweet.
Yeah, I like a lot of the modern touches. I'm sure there's going to be some old school hockey fans that come in there and be like, what is going on with this dolled up place? But I think it's great.
Well, but it's supposed to be Seattle. Like that. It's brand new. I mean, what are you going to do? Make it like, Madison Square Garden, the old
steel,
Boston Garden.
Steel, smelly, girded building. Right.
Dude, I went to the old Boston Garden. It reeked of it. We were talking about this the other day. Like nacho cheese, popcorn, sweat.
And shame.
Cigarette smoke and spilled beer and urine. Like, I mean, that was the smell everywhere in that building.
It's the Coug.
It's actually not that different from being in the Coug. Like, I don't think you want your new building to be like that. Of course it's going to have new, cool, modern touches, and it's going to be very Seattle. So we know a lot about it. What we don't know is what's going to be their after goal song. We know they have an after goal horn, right? That's the foghorn that they're going to play. But all the various teams, and if you guys have suggestions on this, you can send it in to 206-421-3776. All the teams have a song that they like to play right after they make their horn sound. So like the Buffalo Sabres go this way.
But I got a chance here, let me clear my goal.
Good one.
DJ Cool.
Rest in peace,
I hope, right? You don't mind. Huh?
I think he passed away last year.
Did he really?
Oh, yeah.
That's too bad. All right. So, but that's an option, right? That's the type of thing you might hear, but they're not all the same. They went rap, Calgary. Let's see. Here's Calgary Flames. I like this one.
'Cause I'm TNT. I'm dynamite.
celebratory, right? Do they do the oys?
It's
oy.
Like,
oy.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
Oy. I mean, you got to do the oys if you're going to do TNT.
Man, I guess what's the criteria here if you're picking a goal song? Like, what is it that they're looking? Are those songs specific to that region? Or are they just the people that started the?
Well, it seems like there's a little of everything. I think it's got to be celebratory, right? Like Ottawa, this is a very celebratory song. This makes sense, right? I mean, it's literally woohoo,
yeah,
right? So
yeah.
You're sort of looking at something celebratory.
But almost sounds like there's a goal horn in the background already.
Like that low rumble in there. Okay, so like you could go Britpop, Blur, Song 2. But some of them are localized. So like Carolina decided to make it local. I hope that you recognize this song.
Oh, yeah.
Twist it around your head, spin like a helicopter.
See Pablo.
Your voice is surprisingly close to the. You could karaoke it.
No, he couldn't.
Who am I? Mike? No, we'll leave that alone. We're not going to keep going with Petey Pob. But yeah, I like me some Petey Pablo. I don't know any other songs by him, but I like that one. Yeah, that's Carolina. So
already a couple nominations for Teen Spirit here.
Yeah, Smells Like Teen Spirit. I feel like that's too low-hanging fruit for this.
It is a little obvious. But would you feel that is celebratory every time they score a goal? Like if every time you scored the goal, you heard that. Like would that get you excited?
Yeah, because that's the thing is you want to have a high enough beats per minute that you're kind of able to clap along, jump along,
right.
High five along to it. That one is, yes, iconic Seattle. I just don't know if it's the right touch.
253 says, how about something by Cher? How dare you?
Well, that seems like a possibility.
Hey, there
no.
We go.
But like more Sonny and Cher. Go with, like, I don't know.
Oh my God. And another 253 says Jump Around. That's actually, isn't that already
somebody
a goal
uses
song for someone?
Jump
maybe
around.
Philadelphia does maybe
somebody
use that?
Uses Jump Around. We figured that out. The Canucks go Van Halen. I mean, you can't go wrong with Van Halen.
That's true.
Someone says Sabotage, Beastie Boys.
That would have a. That sounds. I mean, that's more of a get pumped song, though. I mean, this. It's. I think arenas have done a great job over the years of creating the songs to get you excited, right? Enter Sandman or, you know, Alan Parsons Project Sirius. Like, we know all the songs that get people excited in big moments and you know, the Thunderstruck, all of it. But this is a slight, like, different. Like, there's some that go techno. You can really make it anything that is celebratory.
Do we need Seattle Ties? There's a lot of Jimi Hendrix nominations coming in.
What Jimmy song would feel celebratory after a goal? Like, I mean, again, Foxy Lady, great. I mean, there's so many great Hendrix songs.
Yeah, how about, along you know, the Watchtower?
Let Me Stand Next to Your Fire.
That's what I would have said. I would have said Fire.
But the Mariners play that a lot. I don't want to say that it's taken. It's certainly.
But they don't play it at a specific time, right? Like if you were to use Louie Louie, you'd be stealing it from the Mariners.
Are there other songs that hockey uses in other times, or is it just the goal song that plays every? That's the one that's locked in stone.
Most of my experience going to hockey games is in Boston. So all I could tell you is in big moments they will generally play Ram Jam. But I don't know whether that's appropriate to play anymore. So that's one. I know that the one thing that I always found at Bruins games growing up is whereas most of the time you hear the like, let's go so-and-so, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. They like the here we go Bruins. Mm-hmm. That one's a little like lower as opposed to the more common one.
I mean, if you were listening in the Devils game the other day, it was actually kind of annoying because I feel like you almost couldn't hear the broadcasters as well, but they played music throughout. It's just, it's just like a DJ.
Mm.
True. Okay, Maura, how about this?
The Mariners play Fire after every win. That's right.
That's when the lights are flashing.
I usually leave before then. I don't make it to the
boo
end of all
you,
those
boo
things.
Boo this man. Okay,
the Golden Knights went local, so they went with Panic at the Disco. Terrible.
Too poppy.
Not celebratory at all.
It's called Vegas Lights. It's an awful song. All right. How would you feel about this? If we are going local,
yes.
It's Seattle.
Yes.
Go ahead, Moore. You can turn this one.
Yes. I'm all in on this.
Well, we knew Salk was in on this.
I'm all in on Heart.
Yeah. But does it have the right energy that you want right after a goal?
I mean, it's not bad.
It's not bad. All right, so that
works better than some other Hart song. Like, you're not going to play Magic Man after every goal or anything.
No, and also, what about this one?
Okay. No, I can't do Even Flow.
You can't do Even Flow?
I think this is the song I've heard on the radio more than any other song. I think it's just too much.
All right, I mean, it is Seattle.
I don't think it's goal celebration.
It doesn't feel it. Like, Rusty Cage is what I always think they should play leading into stuff.
Funny you say that.
I love Rusty Cage.
That's my song for the goal.
Oh, really? I mean,
but it's because this part right here.
It might be too fast. It's got that great open, right, with just the guitar riff at the very beginning.
But you got to bring it right up to speed at that moment. I feel like Rusty Cage is
again, Rusty
the song
Cage is
me.
More like getting ready for the opening face-off, isn't it? Like, you play that long guitar note at the beginning.
Which is why I'm asking, are there other songs?
Well,
that
there
are just...
can be. I mean, I don't know. I don't go to games in all 32 cities.
Well, I have another one then.
All right, what else?
How about a penalty box song?
Okay. I mean, that's the problem. Well, keep sending your texts in. I like the idea of some Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Yeah, Sir Mix-a-Lot's not
bad.
Well,
and he has a song called Seattle Ain't BSin'.
Okay.
What about, do we need to have any kind of nautical theme? Someone said Iron Maiden has a rhyme of the...
Rhyme of the Ancient
Mariner.
Rhyme
of the Ancient Mariner. That's a great Iron Maiden song.
That is a great song.
But it has to be a big enough crowd favorite that everyone knows it when it's played. This is why you only pick crowd favorite karaoke songs as well.
Are there any great Seattle techno groups? I don't know that
Seattle
I would know.
Seattle techno groups.
Are there
groups.
Such thing as techno groups?
There's no such thing as a great techno group.
All right. Well, I'm just trying to think. You know, I'm trying to think outside the box, and unfortunately, you guys are stuck in it. We'll ask John. You think John will have a good answer to this? I'll bet you $1 million he says it has something to do with funk or James Brown or Parliament. We'll ask John that question and more next. Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
John Clayton's Morning Drive, every morning at 8:45 on the Mike Salk Show.
I thought you saw a lot of good things out of offense. I think that was a very positive sign.
The first and final word on everything NFL from the professor John Clayton.
Brought to you by Dubin Law Group.
It just amazes me. I give it credence, but not total credence.
It's John Clayton's Morning Drive with Mike Salk.
Good morning, John. Good morning, John.
Good morning,
Mike. There we go. Hello, how are you?
I'm doing well. How
good.
Are you?
Well, we're good. We just got about a million text messages. We were asking people what the after goal celebratory song should be at Kraken games starting tomorrow night, and you can't imagine how many people have sent in texts.
Like, what seems to be the most favorite?
Well, they're all over the map. I wish I could say that people have one sense of musical taste that they all like. I mean, but a lot of the local stuff, Pearl Jam, Queensryche, Nirvana. We have heard, though, from Andy Ide, who's doing some writing here for 710sports.com, that this may be the answer. This is what they were doing in preseason anyway. Some Lithium. Nirvana. I mean, that's good.
Yeah.
It's not quite as celebratory as some of the other ones.
It doesn't sound like a hockey game.
It's a little low-key.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah. All right. Well,
got
we'll
a lot of votes
happens.
For Macklemore Can't Hold Us. Just got
to
say that.
That has something to it. Yeah, I kind of like that option. That's got like some speed to it. All right. Anyway, John, let's talk some Seahawks. We had practice yesterday, and Rashad Penny was out there. No restrictions. What do we think? We ready for the week for Monday?
I think so. I mean, the big thing is what's going to happen with Anthony Collins. Now, Pete Carroll said yesterday in early that he was going to probably practice yesterday, but he didn't. But it still sounds like there's a chance that Collins could be there. And if that's going to be the case, I would have to think that he's got to start and then Penny be the backup.
Really? So you think if Collins can't go for much of the week, but he's managed to go then, he gets the start?
Well, what has Penny done to earn the backup job?
Well, I mean, this year, nothing. He's been hurt. But, I mean, over the course of his career, he's been pretty effective when he's played. He just hasn't played very much.
But Alex has done so much. I mean, he gained 101 yards last week. I mean, I thought there was a mistake when the season opened, the first game. They had him as inactive and Penny ahead of him, and it hadn't changed. I just think that I think it's better to have Collins over Penny right now because Collins is produced.
Mm. I like both guys, to be honest with you,
so
I'm kind of excited to see where it goes. The Saints, though, they get a pretty good run defense, right?
They do. And what they do is that they concentrate on trying to stop the run. I mean, because they realize that they got some problems in the secondary, but they have some good run stoppers up front, even though, again, they've lost a whole bunch of guys, defensive linemen, to free agency, to trades and things of that nature, suspensions and all that stuff. But, no, they do a great job of stopping the run. And their plan is one of two things, to stop the run. And also, so far in the first five games, they've had the lead in all five of their games. And with the lead, they've been able to go ahead and concentrate on stopping the run because they don't have to worry as much about the pass.
Mm. Daryl Taylor, probably the best news of the week. I mean, it's just remarkable how well he's been able to turn out from that whole thing. I mean, it looked so bad as he was on the stretcher and immobilized, and just the reaction on some of the other players' faces. I mean, Bobby looked really almost aghast at what had happened, and it sounds like he's going to play on Monday night.
Sure does.
That's pretty unbelievable. He has the opportunity. I mean, so is that just that the protocol is that careful?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that, and you're seeing more and more of that because you see more and more guys going to the hospital if necessary, but still being able to come back. And I think that, everybody's being extra cautious as each year progresses, which I think is great because, again, player safety is such an important thing. And so, because I'm amazed. I guess the fortunate thing for him and Seattle is that back in Pittsburgh, because, obviously that's where I have been all my, at least a good portion of my life, is that there's a hospital right just basically almost across the street from the stadium. And so they were able to get him there fast and then get him to the airport.
And they always have trauma centers, right? The stage one trauma centers are ready to go during every NFL game in every city. So, yeah, that's pretty cool. News yesterday, a couple of House Democrats sent a letter to Roger Goodell demanding the league provide Congress with the results of their investigation into what's going on in Washington and the workplace culture there. I assume Congress can get involved, what, because of the antitrust exemption, right?
Let Congress, they should concentrate on the president's thing that they're working on right now, January 6th and all that stuff. Let's not worry about, Dan Snyder and the Washington football team. Mm. I think it's a mistake that, they've got the $10 million fine, and then Dan Snyder had to take back. It's a mistake that that's all that's happened to them so far.
Right.
But why get involved?
Well, because who else has the power to get involved with it? I mean, if the courts are, they are the ones who ultimately have some amount of leverage. It's the United States Congress, whether it's congressmen or senators, they're the ones who hold the key to their antitrust exemption, so they're the only ones who have any power over the league.
No, they do, but again, it's like, okay, so they have the power over the league, but you would imagine that most of the owner support are Republicans, and they're not going to support this. I mean, again, it's like, to me, it's reaching too far. It's like, hey, this is a sports thing. And again, the sports thing should be handled by...
I would drastically disagree with that, John. I don't think they view this as a sports thing. They're saying there was a problem with workplace culture in a big public way for Washington. It's not about what they're doing in the sports on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully Congress will stay out of that unless they want to come in and change the overtime rules, in which case I'd be fine with it. But I understand that Congress isn't going to get involved there, but they're the only ones with any leverage over the NFL. And if they look at it and say, hold on, you conducted your own investigation. You were not transparent about it. You're now saying, oh, well, I'm sure we're saying that everything is fine and there's nothing else left to come out. But nobody knows if that's true. And in fact, most people suspect that it isn't. They're the only ones with any ability to do anything about that.
Yeah, they do. But again, I just think that it's a little bit of an overdue.
Mm.
And, I can see that, it may be by having that threat out there, it could get the league to do something because the National Football League is the one that needs to do something. But you know how it is in both football and sports.
Yeah.
You can do anything you want to the employees, but you don't do anything to the owners.
Well, I think that's interesting the way you phrase that, and I would tend to agree with that. Maybe they just put the pressure on. And by the way, two members of the House doesn't mean much. You get a senator involved or a committee involved, all of a sudden this will become much more of a story. Baker Mayfield said he's been playing with a humerus fracture in his left shoulder. He's a pretty tough dude, huh?
Yeah, he is. I mean, 51 straight games. I mean, he played several games this year with that injury, but the fact that he's got a completely torn labrum, a fracture in the shoulder, I mean, you'd have to think that he's going to be out for some time. I know he's tough, and I know he's wants to try to play. I know he tried to talk his way into playing last night. But again, at some point, you got to say, wait a second. Because, I mean, you watched it last night with Odell Beckham Jr. Odell Beckham Jr. is playing with a third-degree shoulder sprain. And, you know, he makes a catch, falls in the shoulder, gets hurt. And it's like, you know, let's not risk it.
What game are you most looking forward to this weekend?
I mean, certainly the Seahawks game because, again, it's an important Monday night game. But, you know, we have six teams right now taking bye weeks. So we have, you know, that. But, you know, hard to tell overall.
Okay. All right. Good stuff. John, we will talk on Monday. We'll be getting ready for the Seahawks. There you
okay.
go.
Okay. Thanks.
All right, there we go. There's John Clayton. He joins us every single morning at 8:45. So good stuff from John. In terms of games I'm looking forward to this weekend, you kind of look through the scoreboard and look through the schedule. It's not like a fantastic slate of games. Right, Arizona, if you're hoping that they're going to lose, yeah, they take on Houston, so probably not going to happen. Tampa Bay and Chicago, yeah, not much of a game. The Sunday night game, they've been promoting all week by trying to say, like, yeah, things have gotten off to a slow start for both teams, but they're ready to go for it now. Like, it's kind of a weak week of games.
Bengals-Ravens.
Is that the best game? It might be.
I think it's for that division.
That's probably the best game, 4-2 versus 5-1, early game on Sunday. And in Baltimore, that's probably your best game of the weekend. And plus, Baltimore's fun to watch. I can't tell you, I don't think I could name three players on the Bengals.
Boo.
Honestly, they're never on. Like, I never think to watch them. They've got Joe Burrow and
Joe Mixon.
Is he still there? Oh, that sucks. And who else? Who?
Uzama, T. Higgins.
I think you're making some of these names up. T. Higgins?
Is that Higgins? The rookie? Huh?
Jamar Chase?
Is T. Higgins the guy Jesse that replaced Bates, Peyton Manning in Tennessee and won a title? Was that T. Higgins?
Come on.
Oh, that's T. Martin. Sorry. Tyler Palumbus has never been on this show before, but he played for the Seahawks. He does radio in Denver. He's got a lot to say, and he's a pretty fun dude. He's going to join me next. Stick around. Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.